This is exactly right.
Spectrum Business works with small businesses nationwide, so we know that running your own business means doing it all. Marketing, sales, inventory, customer service, and more. Spectrum One for Business helps you keep it all connected for just $49.99 a month. Get fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi with security shield, and a free mobile line for one low price. Stay connected and do it all with Spectrum One for Business. Only $49.99 a month. Go to spectrum.com/business to learn more. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This is NASCAR driver Tony Breitinger inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for my favorite craveable chicken fingers. Turbocharge your order and get it even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app. Raising Cane's chicken fingers. One love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date. Terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn. With Karen and Chris.
Welcome to Do You Need a Ride? This is Chris Fairbanks.
And this is Karen Kilgariff.
This is Karen Kilgariff's friend, Chris Fairbanks. I don't know where. I'm trying to work on. I keep worrying about someone assembling a montage of my intro, the first thing I say, and it being identical. For some reason, I want to add some variety. So I've been adding weird inflection, weird cadence, weird other words that our guest today will know better than me because he was a linguistics major.
It's a concern. Yeah.
It is a concern.
You want to keep it fresh. Yeah.
But yeah, I'm also hanging. My dad is in town. It's the reason I've been talking about this one-man futon, which I've been sleeping on. My dad's in my bed, but we're having a great time. But my dad is good. He's good at talking. And so I've been holding a mirror up to my own talking because my dad is a professional talker.
True. And what have you learned from Jim?
He's just got it. You know, as they used to say in the terrestrial broadcast journalism business, he's just got the goods.
He's got the goods.
And he's meant for the airwaves. And he needs to put those cans on his head and scratch those ones and twos. I don't know a lot of the terms.
Right.
But he's a radio. He was a radio man.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. You're absorbing the do's and don'ts of Jim.
Yeah, it's never too late to glean influence from your father.
Is he, like, every morning when you see him, is he like, good morning, different every morning? And that's what inspired you to try to change it up?
It's certainly, yeah, it's so funny you bring that up because when someone says good morning, it usually makes me flinch. I don't like hearing good morning because it reminds me of my mom vacuuming or someone opening the shades while you're hungover. It's like,
don't
bring that good morning shit. It's not even 11.
It's always passive aggressive in your world.
Yeah,
like there's never a positive good morning.
Yeah, it is. It's always an underhanded good morning. It's never like a fun good morning. So no, my dad's been, he does wake up early to bed, early to rise. And I think that's good. That has been possibly the top of the influence the last few days.
Which also is that's very radio DJ. If he is the morning DJ,
he
has to be at work at 5:30 a.m.
Exactly. He's preparing me for that eventual 4 a.m. slot where I talk about the roads before traffic even is a thought.
The traffic report is always everything's fine. You'll get there on time. It's clear because it's 4 a.m.
Yeah, and everyone's still in bed. So
all
who's
the lights
listening?
Are green.
But one day I'll get a better slot. But yeah, I got a last minute spot at Largo, which makes me think of you because we often talk about Flanagan and newsflash, he's the sweeter than ever. And that's I did a show with Brett Goldstein, who's on Ted Lasso. And he it's so funny to see he's kind of a gruff, tough guy on that show. And of course, in real life, it's almost like a version. He's just not that person at all. He's the sweetest and had really good jokes. And my dad got to meet the Property Brothers backstage, you know. Yeah, it's exactly. And Wendy Malick was there. And I'm like, you look the same for someone that's about my dad's. And my dad got all excited. So it was a cool, that's a kind of thing you can't plan for your dad. I wouldn't get that by bringing him to the Magic Castle.
No, not in the least. But also, I'm going to ask a question that I'm pretty sure I know the answer to. But did you destroy?
I did great.
Yes.
And I haven't been destroying lately. He saw me kind of give a soft set in a barber shop. And so it was fun to, like, that's how it is these days, Dad. And I could tell he was like, oh, let me readjust my thoughts. Yeah. But yeah, it's
all victory.
Yeah, it was great. So that was fun. So far, successful dad visit. But
well, we better introduce our guest.
I think
so
you're
that
right.
He can get in because I know for a fact he's got commentary about all of the things we just spoke about. And the challenge is, will he remember every single topic that you just covered?
You're goddamn right, Mike Kaplan will. And I've said his name, the most amateur thing ever. You know,
goddamn it.
Today's guest does clubs and colleges. Put your ears together for Mike Kaplan.
Ears together. That's delightful. Karen, the thing that you just said about me having so many things to say about everything that has just been said, that cuts right to the heart of my being. I'm going to try. I have so many things. Number one, Chris, I don't want to make you any more nervous. I don't think I could, but do you worry? I mean, you are currently worried that somebody will do a supercut of you saying hello identically, but are you not worried that they'll do the reverse? They'll be like, this guy can't commit to anything. Look at all the weird ways that he says hello, 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 hello. I mean, would you think about
the entertainment factor of listening to a variety of hellos rather than we're talking, and this is a 30-minute long thing. What if it was all identical? It's going to be 30 minutes long, this future thing that won't exist.
No one is working on this. It's the amount of work it would take to do a 1-minute string out.
I'm still
like,
worried
it's
about it.
It's a 3-hour YouTube video of me endlessly saying hello.
I'm worried about it. I'm still worried about it.
It's beautiful because it means that you love yourself and you believe in yourself and you care about yourself so much to believe that someone, to think, I mean, you would have to be like, who do they do that for? Who do they do that? People that are important, people that they care about, like people who are in the news, people who are celebrated. That's
so
you.
It's slightly narcissistic that I think this is coming.
Love yourself. That's what I
right. Yeah. No, it's good.
Potato,
it
potato. Good. Yeah.
Thank you. No,
you're. Sorry, there's a new gnat. I'm so sorry. Gnat? Came out of nowhere. I'm so sorry.
Better than a nanoot. Is that something?
There has been a gnat for 3 days that has been living in the like 2-foot area around Karen's head throughout her house, and she thought she just killed it. And I thought that would be an emotional loss, but good news is there's a new gnat in town.
Here's the thing. It makes me feel like I have a banana peel somewhere that I don't remember like pushing aside as I was doing something else. And now it is growing larva.
Classic comedy. You know, the banana peel hidden somewhere in the comedian's home.
Yeah. Now everyone knows you were not happy to see them.
I'm so happy to be here. I love you both. I love listening. I truly, if I just listened the whole time, I mean, I'm just like, I guess I'm saying like, I would listen to you. I like, you're both. It's funny that you, Chris, are like, oh, my dad, the professional talker. He says into a microphone that he's done for 20 years as well. Also,
the longest.
Yeah. I guess, I suppose much longer than he did. Yeah.
Also, I'll say this. When you said you had I'm glad that you had a wonderful set at Largo. What a wonderful place to do comedy. Yeah. And that you met those nice people and that your dad did as well. All fantastic. Also, this will be the least important thing on some level, but just a look into my brain that when you said that you had a soft set at a barbershop, do you do anything like this? Now, I'm going to introduce the concept to you of syllable twins. So syllable twins, for example, could include Drew Barrymore and Reese Witherspoon. The same syllabic structure. Ba ba da ba. And so, you know, like syllable twin could be, you know, like Mulberry Bush. Syllable twin and Mulberry Bush are syllable twins.
You came up with that quickly, yes.
My brain does these. And so when you said soft set at a barbershop, I heard it to the tune of Fat Guy in a Little Coat from Tommy Boy.
Soft set at a barber shop.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course it is.
I mean, it's really weird.
You can do it without singing.
You can. And wow. I know that from, as you mentioned, my studies of linguistics, I took a class called Intro to Cognitive Science, and we learned about priming, in which, like, if somebody says to you, bug, you know, then your brain's neural networks for all things related to bugs of any kind, if you're talking about an insect, like the gnat that's flying around, like, they're like, oh, gnat, bug, ant, all the related things pop up, even, like, then electronic equipment, like a spy bug, and then spy networks light up, and your brain thinks of those things quicker, and I didn't realize that my brain would do it with just sounds, with just the shape of words.
Yeah.
Without even the content, just the form alone, without even the function.
You live in a constant state of as if you're taking one of those tests, association tests.
Yes, I think that that is an undercurrent, you know, on the back burner, if not the front burner. It's on one of the burners.
One of the four. But also, I think it points to your musical talent and ability, because that's one of my favorite things. The comedy songs you were doing, I don't know if you still do them, but they were so good, Mike. I mean, truly, they were great.
Thank you so much. It's really kind of you to say, especially as someone, as I know you, also create comedy songs. And I have a joke that I tell sometimes. Your songs I love as well. And I sometimes tell this joke about how when I see a musician, because my parents were music teachers and I studied violin from age 4 and taught myself guitar in high school and came to comedy via music. I was writing comedy songs from the get-go, and I still create music for fun. And like during the lockdown phase of the pandemic, I made a lot of songs. Like for my girlfriend, and I think my girlfriend like went out to visit her mom for like 2 weeks at one point. And I was like, I'm going to write a song a day. You know, I'm just going to, I love writing. I love playing around. I love recording. So I have a bunch. Like I've released some, and then I just have a lot of unreleased that I'm like, these are fun for me and my friends, but like if I was going to release them, I'd make them sound better somehow, but
sure,
they're probably fine. But yeah, so the joke that I tell sometimes is like when I see a musician, not even a comedy musician, but just a musician, a band, an artist, you're familiar with the ways that music can be played by one or more people. And we call them different things sometimes, be it a band or a singer songwriter. I'm a joker joke writer. And
the word artist comes to mind.
Yeah. And so if I see beautiful music played live and I can talk to the person after, I'll tell them that was beautiful. And also, I'm a musician, so this compliment, please take it as more valuable than just some schmo who's like, that was beautiful, but what do I know? Like, that was beautiful, and I know all that
I really know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It has a little R in a circle at the end of the compliment. It is a registered compliment.
Oh, yeah. And that's it's not that that compliment paid $8 to be verified. That compliment was verified but in the original ancient way by people, your manager calling the head of Twitter, whoever it was at the time. Yeah. But that, yeah.
That... sorry, really quick.
No.
The blue check flip that happened on Twitter is still one of the funniest things that's ever happened on Twitter.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It is so unbelievably, it was a cultural shift that happened in like 2 days where everybody went, oh, okay, well, I lost my blue check. Don't care. Doesn't matter.
Right.
Not getting a blue check. No one's paying for it. Literally, I think they said 82 people actually signed up for that.
Oh, wow.
Obviously, tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people that belong to it. And then all the people who did pay for it are now complaining about the people not paying for it as if that's something you can argue
funny.
And debate down into like, oh, I guess you're right. I have to buy it now. It's like, no. The cool people just said, no, fuck off.
Yeah.
And now you're stuck with the blue check. It is hilarious.
Right. So now even if, because some ran, I'm just now seeing, you're seeing in real time my reaction to mine being taken away, and look, still exactly as happy as I was before.
It's meaningless.
But some people, it's funny though, because there is a part of me that I was happy when I saw that I was verified at one point. It does have meaning. That
it
goes
did
back,
have meaning in 2012.
Right, back when I wanted it, and I'm like, how do you get this? Do I have to meet the right people? I'm starting to look like I'm not professional, but now that it's gone, it would be embarrassing if you still had it, because then everyone knows you paid to buy into a popularity contest, sort of, yeah.
It's like the famous quote by Jim Carrey and others that I'll paraphrase poorly. Like, he's like, I hope that everyone gets, you know, all of their dreams met of being rich and famous so they can find out that that's not it. Like, that doesn't do it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, before you have the verified check, they're like, well, who even am I? And then after, you're like, oh, yeah, still a good question. Who even am I that I thought that this would be the thing?
Right.
Which is, I mean, I've been learning a lot about Buddhism from Instagram and bumper stickers like you do. That's my joke. I'm sorry to do a bit on you.
That is a good one.
I have a good one of my best friends is a practicing Buddhist who I've like been hanging out with and learning with and from. And there's like meaningful stuff. And you know, one of your basics in Buddhism is that there is suffering. The first noble truth. There is suffering, which sometimes gets translated as discomfort. And it's like the discomfort of, you know, the classic, what you're like, oh yeah, this doesn't feel good. And knowing that we're going to get sick and age and die, that's not everyone's favorite. But even the good things, you're like, oh, this feels good, and it's gonna go away probably at some point. Like even the suffering of change, they call it as well. Like my buddy was in there was a pool and a jacuzzi, and he's like, I'm in the jacuzzi and it feels good, but then you get a little too hot and you're like, I don't like this. Dive into the cool water. Ah, that feels good. Then this is actually a little cold. I'm gonna go back into the jacuzzi.
Yeah.
He's like, it's a miracle I'm not still there doing that over and over again. We're constantly struggling to be like, what's the thing? When I get, oh, that's the horizon. When I get there, oh, now there's another horizon. Great. Ah, the blue check. Oh, not the blue check. Anyway, my point is, thank you, Karen, for your kind words about my music.
that was the best.
I just think it's such a funny, somebody had a great tweet, and I won't be able to remember because now there's all these people I don't follow that I'm constantly reading their tweets, but they said something like, oh yes, all of a sudden the thing that I thought I was supposed to want is the exact thing I'm not supposed to want. This is just like eighth grade. And I was like, that's it. There's a real, that's what Twitter is all about anyway.
Right.
It's about, you show up at school, no one gives a shit that you're there. You're like, hey, they're supposed to care I'm here because it's me. Then you, for 4 years, post your thoughts. And then suddenly, slowly, people go, we do like that you have these thoughts. And it builds up over a long period of time. And then you get a little check. And somehow that validates you. And then this guy came in that's really bad at tweets and really bad at being a human being and really bad at giving a shit about other people. And he's suddenly like, here's how we're going to do it. You legacy blue checks are assholes. And we're all like, yeah, okay, that's true. Yes, actually. Fine. We're going to take those away. Go ahead. I don't.
Great.
The fact that I cared this much is embarrassing. At
yeah,
this
yeah,
point.
I know.
And then
I'm
it's like, now pay money. No way, dude. Not even if I had as much money as you, would I pay?
Everything is a Rorschach. You know, it's like everything tells us something about ourselves. It's like you ever have. I don't know if this ever happened in real life, but I have an imagination of like everyone's like line up over here. Here's the front of the line. Everyone that way, and then they're like, actually, the front is the back, and the back is the front. And you're like, wait a second, but I like stand. I stampeded over people. I trampled yeah. people to yeah. be in the place. That's the point. That's the yeah. thing, you know?
Southwest yeah. Airlines does that. Sometimes you don't know if there are airlines where it's like, oh, look, I'm going to be at the very end. I'm seat 35. Ha, surprise. People are getting on in opposite order. It's you don't know the front or the back.
Also, just I don't know who told me this, but there's like experts in like, I don't know, the ergonomics of airplanes that are like, there's an actual way that would be the fastest and most efficient to board an airplane. And it involves, for example, everyone who has a window seat get on first. The windows in the back first. Not by row. Don't have aisle people. You have aisle
people. Right.
An aisle person sitting before the window person. Oh, yeah. Sorry. Gotta get up. Stand in the way. Do like it makes perfect sense. Just be like, oh, yeah. The final row window people. All the window people. Any window person. Get
Is
on.
Is there a reason they don't do it that way? Or you just... heard someone bring up
capitalism.
That
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know the answer.
Yeah.
They'd charge us all. It'd be a way to charge us $50.
Yeah, yeah.
If we do this well and quickly, it'll cost you more money.
Yeah. And there, I did go on, I feel as like Virgin Airlines once, and they were like, if you can board if you have whatever status right now, but also if you don't have a carry-on bag, if you don't have an overhead, get on at any time. And then rewarding people for, you know, a thing that would actually be practically helpful.
Right, right.
Yeah, that's smart.
Yeah.
I do like Virgin Airlines.
Yeah.
I mean,
and they're
they have
done.
Sexy lighting and, you know, a good opening video and stuff.
Yeah, it used to feel like getting into a Macintosh product. It was glowing. It was just like, am I part of an iPad pod?
Is this the future?
I mostly fly Delta since I learned in like 2010 that if you fly only one airline, then it's good sometimes. That, you know, you get bumped up. And then every once in a while, when I'm on a different one, like Virgin, it's like an alternate dimension. And I'm like, the video at the beginning, it's like a fun cartoon. I'm like, I sometimes do feel tricked when I'm like, this is a really cool song, a commercial. No, I enjoyed a commercial, but I'm like, it made me feel good. So I'll take it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I downloaded on purpose the theme song to a news program on the Hill. I'm like, that is it sounds like John Tesh and Tame Impala got together to do the new epic news theme song. And I downloaded it and I listened to it in my car. It's the funniest thing to be listening to. Because it is newsy, but it's like, it's my new Eye of the Tiger. I fucking love it.
That's a great song too. Here's a related topic. I was like, I almost forgot, but oh, good. I'm going to divert the whole conversation.
That's podcasting.
Hold
that's
on.
That's podcasting, baby.
that's being a man in society. Let's talk about what I want to talk about for a moment. I'm reminded, during the pandemic, I started doing weed edibles more than I ever did before. I now understand what it does to me. Like, you know how they're like, oh, this one will put you to sleep and this will not do that. I'm like, incorrect. They'll all do that. They'll all put me to sleep. But it's nice. I'm like, I used to try to do weed like in public with people and like that doesn't do it. No, I'm like, if I'm at home alone and sometimes I'll just, or with my girlfriend and sometimes we'll watch something or just listen to music and I'll feel my body and I'm like, that feels good. And my girlfriend will be like, you could probably just feel your body regular if you just didn't do something for a little while. Yeah. And I'm like, we'll never know. but that's probably true. But every once in a while, well, like they'll be, I'll be like, this is a really cool song. And my girlfriend will be like, are you high? Because this is a commercial from the 80s and there's a lot of synthesizers. And I'm like, yes, I am high. And this song is beautiful. And I will stand by that.
That's what I was going to say is those songs, like Chris's song.
AutoZone,
oh fucking the Ford Taurus theme. We've sung it many times on this podcast.
Home Depot.
There's a lot of those. It was like a hard charging. It was back when people got paid decent amounts of money to do their job.
Right.
So that composer got to sit at home for, say, a month and come up with the theme song of a news show. So like they'd be like, Action 8 News. And if there's an entire concept, it's not just like a little jingle to lead you in because no one has the attention span anymore to watch an entire package at the beginning of a news show. But it used to be in the 70s and 80s when the news started, that was like this, it was like a, almost like a weird OP t-shirt come like animated come to life where it's like with this amazing rock song behind it. And it's like, there was good shit. It got you through, you know, through the news or through your shitty Sunny D commercial or whatever.
Music is so good. Yeah. I've, two quick things. Number one, in the past couple of years, I created a couple jingles and I love doing it. One for my dad who like started a new little business. And then because of that one, or actually I forget what the one I made for my dad is. I have it somewhere. But my dad's brother-in-law owns a car wash. And my dad was like, do you want to make one for the car wash? And I'm like, I'd love to make one for the car wash. So I made one for the car wash. And so just for your listeners, anyone out there, I've also, do you guys know Zach Sherwin, of course,
of course. Yes.
Zach and I, dear friends who, quick interlude about Zach and me, we love a lot of the same things. We are very good friends. And I was having a meal with Drew Michael once, a wonderful comedian friend as well. And Drew was like, oh, I mentioned Zach. And he's like, oh yeah, you and Zach are like Mario and Luigi. And I was like, that's correct. That's 100%. You've seen us to our core. Yeah. And
plumbers / brothers.
That's us. Yeah. Oh yeah. Zach and I both are, we got into plumbing recently. And
sure.
Zach and I actually have a project that hopefully will be coming out soon of all of the podcast theme songs that he and I have written together. I've written my own for mine, and we've done at least a dozen for other people.
Oh, that's great.
Some of which are still in operation these days, and
nice.
Some of them, which we made one that we really loved for a show called Does This Hold Up? And we gave it to them, and they're using another one, and that's fine, but
oh,
we're
wow.
like, we think ours is correct. But the point is, we're available.
Man,
can we be really quick?
I want to hear
the car wash theme.
Yeah, me too.
Yes. We're both asking the same thing.
I mean, I can send it to you, but I
legally?
Yes.
You can't
sing it?
Oh,
off the top?
I truly, it's long enough ago. Do you ever, have you, you must have songs that you've written that you don't remember how they go.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry. Yeah. If I had to make it again right now, which this is kind of my impression of my previous girlfriend, who was younger than I by approximately a decade. Like I'm 44 and she is in her early 30s. And so we dated for a time. And the joke I tell about her in this way is, you know how like, so we have different references for things. Like, you know that song, Opposites Attract? She didn't know that song. So I would ask her, like, you know that song, Opposites Attract? And she would start singing, Opposites Attract. She'd just start making up a melody when she didn't know it. And so that's what I would have to do for Triangle Car Wash. They get three things done. You know.
That's might be Giants song.
Yeah. That could be. They might be Giants.
Triangle Band.
You're 100% right. And I'll tell you, the two artists / groups that were the most influential to me, my favorites as a teenager, were the Syllable Twins of They Might Be Giants and Ani DeFranco.
Oh, nice.
Wow, Ani. Yeah, sure.
100%.
It was a small window, but there was a brief period where everyone I knew was paying attention to Ani DiFranco.
I still pay attention. Her music's so beautiful.
Yeah, I gotta dip my toes back in.
You gotta re-dive dip, absolutely.
I gotta dive dip
three things. That's not the only thing I love about you, Chris, but I feel like I really resonate with you. I feel I think we've talked about this, the kindred spirit of sometimes you don't say something, sometimes we say something so quickly, it might come out, the joke I have and the truth of my girlfriend and my relationship and the way that we are is like, she thinks before she speaks, and I speak right before I think.
But sometimes when you nail it, you want to recreate it. And so you lie and pretend you're doing it again. You and I are do that.
We do both, 100%. But also every once in a while, it really happens. A real beautiful mistake that, a crisis that turns into an opportunity, as those two, as I understand in Chinese, are the same word.
Like the first, the very first dump cake.
Yeah, the very
first dump cake. It was an accident. That
I have made so many people watch the dump cakes infomercial that it's one of the first things that comes up in my search bar on YouTube because it's my favorite. Like, I'm always like, you don't know what dump cakes are? And people are like, I don't know what you're talking about. And then I start doing an impression of the lady as if that's somehow going to awaken some memory they do not have in their mind.
Pop. Yeah.
It's like, just out a can of Sprite. And the way everything is like, it's her favorite fucking thing that she can put soda into cake mix and then make a dessert. It's just like, can you fucking believe this shit? I'm pouring a Coke in here. I adore it so much in that it's a real like, can you imagine that if that was your mom, like every time you went into the kitchen, she's like, get in here. I made a Dr. Pepper cupcake. And you'd be like, fuck yes. I love you.
Oh, I mean, absolutely. We all believe we would feel that way. And if she were our mom, we'd be like, mom, no, not
Stop
again.
It.
Yeah, you're embarrassing me. Oh,
where's the broccoli?
Didn't it turn into the sale of dump cake specific rings that you pour whatever you want into them? Like, wasn't it to sell a
cake molds and stuff?
Yeah, molds. I think that it was like, here's your dump cake kit that you can order.
Yes, there probably was a thing you got and you could add shit on, but then she went into dump dinners. And I swear to God, that infomercial where people, they can't believe dump cakes to begin with. And then when she's like, and now we have something else to offer. And then it's just like her dumping shit into a pan and acting like it's the best, most wonderful. And at one part of the infomercial, she's talking about it like there's a kind of diet element to it. Where it's it's a healthy dinner. And it's like, ma'am, you just cracked open a can of like minestrone soup and something else, like no, and cornbread or whatever. It's like,
said low
that's
sodium.
Not a healthy dinner.
Yeah.
It's so crazy.
I want to see a version of it. Like I always think of things where you can mash up editing. Everything she's pouring in there, it just goes to that scene in Back to the Future where it's, he has the fusion thing where he's just putting garbage into the thing that powers the...
A banana peel he puts in there.
A banana peel.
Yeah.
Covered in nuts.
Whatever you want. Cigarette butts.
if I may briefly, this is an idea that I have for a new soup called Maxi-Stroni. It's like minestrone, but bigger. I'd like to do an infomercial. And real quick, before I forget, it's way too late now, but when you mentioned AutoZone, I wish I remembered what comedian from Boston, I don't know if he still does comedy, but like 15 to 20 years ago, there was a comedian in Boston. If any Boston comedian, fan, listeners, anyone knows this comedian, I'm just going to, I think his name was Anthony or Tony, and I don't remember his last name or even his first name, but if I had to guess, it's Anthony or Tony. Maybe both, maybe he goes by both. And he had a joke about the AutoZone commercial music, which just for if anyone needs a refresher, AutoZone, get in the zone. If you want it, if you need it, just ask us and we'll get it. And then he would be like,
wait, that's different than
that's
here.
That's an East Coast version.
Because ours is not. Get in the zone, AutoZone.
AutoZone.
Oh, my God.
Different.
I wonder. So you don't know mine at all?
No.
Never heard yours.
Wow. Yeah. Well, yeah, this is a
maybe
East
it's a
Coast
classic.
One.
It's more involved, more lyrics.
This is fantastic to learn that there is a difference.
Wait, what's your O'Reilly Auto Parts? Oh my God, Karen, wait. Remember when I talked about I ran into the live performance at a corporate event of the actual people that recorded the first O'Reilly Auto Parts? Someone said I was at that event and they were total asshole divas. Like they're rock stars. See, I didn't ask to follow up much because it was just in my messages, but the idea of them having like egos and throwing their weight around because they had the most popular regional jingle.
It was a good jingle. I can see where you'd get a big head over that because you're just like, oh, O'Reilly. It's good stuff.
It's
powerful.
I don't even know if I know it, but I love what you just did.
Oh, yeah. Maybe that's
right?
West Coast.
Isn't it catchy?
Only.
Yeah.
But also, you know what it's like? I don't know if...
Oh, wait. You have to finish Anthony or Tony's joke because I really want to know what it
I
is
I am
now.
So sorry.
I will 100%, but I do want to say briefly, the fact that we now know that there are two different versions of the AutoZone theme song, it's like if you grow up Jewish and you go to your synagogue and you sing the songs the way that you know them. And then if you go to another synagogue and it's like the same lyrics, but slightly different or completely different.
Right.
And you're like, wait, I thought, but it's so weird.
Right.
Like,
yeah, that's so weird.
Another alternate reality. But okay.
Yeah.
Yes. The conclusion.
And if I could put off Tony/Anthony's joke.
Of course.
There's a time that I made a new best friend, Ross Peterson, in sixth grade. And then after a year, I bumped into him at a family reunion because he was also my cousin.
No.
Yeah.
What?
So now we're even closer.
Are you guys still cousins today?
I mean, not first cousins. I think his uncle and my mom are cousins. Anyway, I didn't want to get too deal. Okay,
let's get exciting.
It is cool.
I want to keep on putting off Anthony Antonio's joke until the very end of this podcast.
Until the it's too much expectations.
Happy
and the joke
to do
flops.
It. Cliffhanger until next time. Also, I have enough, you know, now I'm an only child. I'm an only grandchild. So I don't have any like first cousins that aren't removed in some degree. Like I have second cousins and I have some first cousins once removed. I think I've figured it out every once in a while, or people have told me, yeah, you got them. But I do think, like, now, you know, my dad remarried and there's like, you know, there's other family members extended wise. And I'm like, oh, is that my step aunt? And I'm just like, everybody's a cousin, just cousin. And I
just say cousin. Yeah.
Yeah. Just say cousin. It doesn't matter, especially because other cultures and other languages don't even have a one-to-one correspondence to our words. Like, their word for cousin might include our word for uncle. Like, there might be, like, not a one-to-one matchup. So, like, yeah, let's just say cousin for everything.
Yeah. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is the most versatile of the... Can I admit something real quick as we
please
postpone Tony/Anthony's
sure
joke one more? I don't know.
Let's all
what...
admit one thing before this. We hear Anthony
Tony's going to,
joke.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
I had killed someone in October.
Oh,
what?
Sorry. Oh, I thought we were doing it right now. I thought we were doing it now. I'm admitting is I don't know what once or twice removed means. Is
all
that
right.
Divorce or death? What's the removal?
I know.
I always just nod. Twice removed. Oh, interesting.
Now,
I'm
going
man.
To, number one, it's very brave of you. Thank you for your vulnerability.
Yeah.
Also, I am not 100% on this, but this is what I think. I think, okay, I'm going to start telling you. Number one, like if, let's say, my dad has a brother, my uncle, and if he had kids, that would be my first cousin. And if that kid had a kid, then that would either be my second cousin or I think that would be my second cousin. But I think, my girlfriend is coming in to report. I think it's that.
I love outside input on this. I want you to go get a neighbor and have them tell you some.
Here's what I think it is. I think from my actual life, my grandmother has a brother. He is my great uncle. His child is my mother's first cousin. And that's my second cousin because he's Or that's my first cousin once removed. That's what I forget. I forget right. if he's my second. I think he's my second cousin, and his kid is my first cousin once removed. Same level of generation,
right.
his first cousin, but it's removed because it's through my mom being cousins with his dad. That's what I think the removal is, and I have no idea if I'm right.
Right, and I'm no closer to knowing, but I do appreciate, and I think you did it on purpose, you made me feel better by making it more confusing than I even thought humanly possible.
It is confusing, though, because this is some fucking, like, who would know this stuff besides an Ancestry.com level expert?
Right.
Because I thought it was, but we're talking about two different things, because the once removed part, I have no idea. I just know that my mom's cousin is my second cousin.
Right.
Okay. If you know that that's true, I think you might be right. Oh, and we're getting a chat.
Yes.
Annalise.
A chart in the chat. A little chat chart.
Yes. Chat chart.
Simba.
Chat chart. Woo. Okay.
Annalise syllable just sent twins. Us a full on cousin chart.
Chat
this
chart.
This is hilarious.
Beautiful.
Oh,
yes,
wow.
I've seen this before.
Cousin
and this
chart.
Is, yes, let's all look at the cousin chart.
We should be playing banjo music right now.
Okay, while we're looking at the cousin chart, I think this is appropriate to let you know also, the thing that I'll admit is that for many years, I did not know what the term cliffhanger meant for this reason. You're familiar with a cliffhanger. For example, on a TV show, when it says to be continued, and you're like, a cliffhanger. What happened to me?
Example.
You get it. You get it. I was watching one time the old Batman series from the 60s, an episode where at the end of it, there was a to be continued, a cliffhanger that I didn't know that word at the time. And Robin was like on, you know, those contraptions that exist in shop class and villains lairs, where it's like a rotating saw and a conveyor belt. Conveyor belt heading towards rotating saw, perfect for building furniture or murdering superheroes. And Robin is on this conveyor belt heading towards the
slowly.
Thing.
It only works if it takes hour or two.
It varies, though.
Batman rescue Robin? And I point at the screen because I want to know what the contraption is called. I'm like, what is that thing that's in all of my cartoons? Like, there must be a name for it. And I'll give you a brief interlude, another cliffhanger to the end of this cliffhanger story. Have y'all heard of a Gava guy? Do you know what a Gava guy is?
Never heard of that.
So a Gava guy is a made-up word, as all words are made up, but it was made up specifically for a linguistic experiment like a thought experiment to be like, if you're learning a new language and somebody points at a rabbit like hopping across a field and says, that's a Gava guy. In my language, that's a Gava guy. It could mean that Gava guy means rabbit. It could mean a small mammal, maybe a puppy is a Gava guy also, maybe any mammal, maybe any animal. That's, you don't know how narrow or how wide Gava guy is until you have lots of other examples. And so what happened to me is when I pointed at the screen and asked my mom, what's that? Meaning I wanted to know what the contraption is called.
Yeah.
Right as to be continued appeared on the screen, my mom said, that's a cliffhanger. So for years, thought that device was called a cliffhanger.
Wow.
So every time you went to the lumber mill and you saw it actually being used in reality, you're like, another great, well-maintained cliffhanger.
Yeah. Putting some raw oak through the old cliffhanger, huh, boys? And they're like, what the hell's that kid talking about? Why is there a kid here on the wood lot?
On the wood floor,
They call it the wood floor, yeah.
Here's going to be my confession. I love so much that Annalise put this chart up for us. I can't read charts.
I stared
at that for so long, and I was like, I have more questions than I did before we started that part of the conversation.
It's a pyramid shape. There's colors also. It's like, this is like a
lot of arrows.
Too much. It's like a game of high stakes Uno. I can't read it.
It does.
I'm scared.
It looks kind of like a board game. But here will be my other confession, because this has been making me laugh. This office that I'm in is also, there's a closet here that I put dresses in because the the guys who I bought this house from, their closets are for boys, not girls. So all of their stuff is hung shirt level, not dress level.
Oh, wow.
So if I put a dress in my bedroom closet, half of it is on the ground. So I have to hang them in here. And so I am going on a trip. So I went in to find all of the kind of, oh, this would be good dresses to have on this trip. And I hung them on the little hooks that shut the closet. And I hung like five on each side just so I could see what I had, see what I'm working with, whatever. Do I have enough? I left the closet door open about five different times. I have scared the living shit out of myself because it looks like a real tall guy in wearing black is in this room hiding behind the door.
Oh, no. Slender Man?
And yes, and the first time it happened, I was like, oh my God, like that, where it's like, how would they have gotten in? Like the dogs would have barked. There's a million things. But then I didn't shut the door to get it out of the door jam. So it just keeps happening. And it's like a bad movie where I come around the corner. I'm like, oh my God, there's someone in the office.
That's so funny.
And I've done it. Over the past week, I think I've done it to myself five times.
That's exactly what I did when I did that haunted mansion in Davenport. I thought that I was protecting myself by putting my belongings in the corners of this large
I love
room.
That place. That was a real fun place.
You've done that. Okay.
I have.
You've maybe been in this corner room where you look upon the very, very scary ex-asylum and very cuckoo's nasty place. But I put a sweater on one hanger and my bag kind of in a chair over here. And then when I went to sleep, I'm like, ah, that's a person. No, that's my sweater. Ah, that's a little guy. Oh, that's my bag.
That's what ghosts, you got haunted by the ghost of your past self setting up that thing that you, it's always the thing that you think is going to protect you that, you know, like you trap yourself in a, like a suit of armor or imprison yourself in a wall.
Yeah.
Like, so just don't try to preemptively strike. Yeah.
It's just the translucent dotted line outline Billy version of me from Family Circus that is actually a ghost child of, I think, I got some weird Family Circuses.
Not me.
not me.
Also, we don't have to spend too much time on this, but I have had an enlightening experience with the cousin chart
Did you figure it out?
Yes. Here's the thing.
Cousin is now a word.
Please write down becousin.
I'm gonna record it in my digital recorder that I use to record jokes. Becousin. Okay. That is my new word.
I know. Nice. I know you well enough to know that will soon be a 3 or 4 minute bit. Becousin. Yes.
So here's the thing that's cousin fusing about first cousin.
No, I can't go with that one.
Fair enough.
I'm here. Karen, there's a split in the road. I'm still
okay,
here for
all right.
Well, cousin fusing.
It's actually appropriate because on this chart, here's why it's confusing, is there are two ways to make a first cousin once removed. One way is the child of your first cousin is your first cousin once removed. The other way is the parent of your second cousin is a first cousin once removed as well. So I always thought I didn't have first cousins. My cousin Jonathan, who is like my age and is, you know, we share our grandparents are siblings. So we are second cousins. But his father is apparently my first cousin once removed. And that's what I have to remember is weirdly, my mom's first cousins are my first cousins once removed. And the end. I know it now and I'll never remember it again. But I'll listen to this podcast and I'm going to keep this chart. I'm going to send this chart to myself once, at least a month, maybe once a year, once I have it. this is important. And I've seen the chart before.
It is important.
I've seen it before, but I'm like, I got it. Now I just have to remember that I never have it, and I just have to look at the chart.
You will never have it.
I will.
It's unlearnable.
It's impossible. No, anyone who thinks they know it, they don't know it. Yeah.
They're lying.
Correct.
I'm going to continue ignoring it and know that all it means is I can only have sex with people from out of town. That's how I play it safe. safe. You don't
have to
learn the
chart. That's the final square on the chart.
Oh, yeah. Do you know, I think it might be Iceland. I think it might be Iceland. I said it Iceland.
Bjork.
The land of ice. Yeah, of course. Bjorkland. New Bjork City, capital of Iceland. I believe it's there or somewhere equally small. And because it's tight-knit, I think that they have like an app that like their dating apps have an additional thing of like checking ancestry to make sure it's much more frequent that you'll run into somebody who you're related to.
And that's being careful. That's I feel bad for making light or fun of that situation because that's kind of sweet, but good. I'm glad they care.
But I feel like Icelandic people have great senses of humor. They're very hardy people. They don't give a shit. They're not going to be upset.
Yeah.
That's not how they are.
Yeah. They're more laid back than we give them credit. Someone just walked in.
And they
in.
Have equal pay.
I just have to, my dad's familiar with Mike Kaplan and he already loves Karen. I just want my dad who just walked in, he washed his car, to say hello. Hello, Jim Fairbanks. Come to the mic and just say hello.
Hello, son.
And then,
Karen.
Hello.
Talking to the talking stick.
Talking stick. Yeah, I was 5 minutes away. It took me 40 minutes to get here.
I know. I knew you got lost. I sent him on a journey to go get his car washed.
I thought, well, I'm just going to go around the lake, take a look at that pretty lake with the paddle boats. And got all excited. And I thought, well, maybe I won't get out because I'm just going to run right back.
Yeah.
That was 45 minutes ago.
Okay, we'll get on the paddle boats. We're going to do that together. Okay, wait in my bedroom, Father.
We said hi.
Yeah.
Tell him we're saying hi.
I know.
Because he can't hear us.
Yes, of course. And that's something I didn't realize is he wouldn't have. He's waiting for a response, and I'm wearing the only cans in the house.
Ugh. Cans.
Oh, Lord. Thank you, Father. My dad's visiting.
When you go on those boats, do you think you'll call them daddle boats?
Only because of that's who I'm with. It's a lake that's been renovated that they took a dozen bodies out of it from over the years. And now there was a lot of disposing of bodies in Echo Park Lake.
That's some renovation.
Yeah, that's all they did. And,
that's the only change.
Planted some plants, added some turtles, got rid of some human cadavers.
What's different here? Yeah.
Is it vibe? It's just the overall vibe.
Oh, yeah. There used to be legs in those lily pads. That's a guy.
That's like a New York mafia guy that's come to dump some bodies in Echo Park Lake.
It's like, oh, no, we don't use this lake anymore. Oh, where do we go now? Yeah.
The La Brea tar pits.
Yes, of course.
Yes, of course. Which also I was going to bring my dad to. I've never been to the tar pits. There's so many things in Los Angeles I've ignored for 20 years.
I actually know a lot because my dad does like to visit me a lot. I know a lot of good dad places because he's very picky and he only wants to do, like, he's very preference-based.
It's like
Peterson Auto Museum,
if your dad
likes cars.
Of course
Which
he
is
does.
Right near the La Brea Tar Pits.
Of course it is. Yeah. There used to be a car actually hanging outside. Yeah.
And then that's right where Mocha is, I think, right down, right there on Wilshire. You're kind of like, there's a nice spot, and then I think there's a Marie Callender's, if it hasn't closed.
And he could get what every dad wants, some French onion soup with cheese on top.
and a bit of pie.
What is Mocha? That's an art museum. That's the one with all those street lights in front that people use as a photo op. Okay.
It might be LACMA. Sorry, it might be LACMA.
I know it's LACMA. I didn't want to condescend and correct. Coming up soon, the Anthony Tony joke. I don't know why I did.
If I may briefly digress us slightly further, you, Karen, and I both mentioned the La Brea Tar Pits, and I don't know if y'all have listened to music. We've spoken of music. Everything makes sense. Everything's connected.
It's all connected.
Free association, still continuing. These associations are free.
Time is made up by man. It does not exist.
So Zach Sherwin, the aforementioned Luigi to my Mario, he has a song called Good Heavens. And I was like, I think he mentions the La Brea Tar Pits in it. So if I may just offer, if people are not familiar with Zach's music and the Crossword Show, please become familiar. But on the song Good Heavens, which is track one on the album Brutus, he he says, and I'm just doing a reading, not like not at all an up to snuff performance rendition, but he says, I spit my first bars a bit before my bar mitzvah. Now I'm artistically marvelous from the La Brea Tar Pits to Mar Vista.
Oh, that's so great.
That's sweet.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Yes, it is.
Beautiful selection of consonants.
He's so good. The one he does, is it about flags?
Oh, Flag Roast is that one,
Fucking God damn it. I saw that so long ago. It was like so long ago that he performed it on a show I was working on. And I was just like, what is fucking going on? Like,
yeah.
I was like, I love that feeling. I've gotten it a bunch of times as I've done comedy over the years where like in the beginning, when I started stand-up comedy, it was like, I know all comedy and I've decided this is what it's like and I'm going to try to get to the top of what I think it's going to be like.
Yeah.
And then, say, 10 years in, you're like, oh, no, now there's the new class and they're doing everything better and everything is like a little bit kind of refined and toned up and more things are being considered because everybody gets to improve off of the last class. I like to call it class, like it's high school, but I do it by decade. And I felt like by the time I was watching people like Zach Sherwin or the first time I saw Jared Logan do a set and work the crowd, like that kind of thing where I'm just like, oh, this is fucking next level in a way that I didn't like. I dropped out. I was kicked out of college. I couldn't do this if I wanted to. I had no idea what any of those flags were. Like that idea of watching people and being like, oh, I love when the game gets fucking leveled up in this kind of overt way. It's awesome.
Because I always have tried to play to that back of the room and it's been a priority, be it a good or bad idea, to make the comics laugh. But if instead of laughing, I heard the comics go, what the fuck? That would feel so good. If they're like kind of upset that it's a new thing, that would feel so good.
Chris, what you could do, you don't have to do this, but all you could do if you want to really entertain the back of the room, just you go to the back of the room and then tell the audience that now the front of the room is the back of the room. And
Southwest Airlines on them?
Exactly. Can I tell you one more Zach Sherwin fun musical fact?
Sure.
There is a song that he wrote that I think I know in full more than he does. Like we've talked about, there are some songs that I've written that I've forgotten. This is not in his regular rotation.
Yeah.
Like he might have recorded it but not released it.
I know some Henry Phillips songs better than Henry Phillips. Yes.
Yeah. And this song, I'll just tell you the concept of the song and a couple of the lyrics. It was when Eminem came out with a new album and Zach and I, we listened to it and I remember having a conversation and Zach just came up with this description of what Eminem was doing, which is like, he's rhyming. He's so good at rhyming. He's not only rhyming things that do rhyme, he's rhyming things that don't rhyme. For example, there's like he rhymes in one song, I'll lose my shit with toolboxes and screwdrivers. And like screwdrivers and toolboxes and lose my shit. None of them rhyme.
Yes,
but
not even neighbors.
He makes them rhyme.
Yeah.
And then Zach introduces the concept of he learned about a thing called a Twinkie Burger, which apparently some company found this thing where they like flash fry and like smash down Twinkies as the bun. And then there's a burger and cheese and bacon.
We're both upset by this, but continue.
And it seems like, and so it seems like it shouldn't work.
Right.
But and so Zach is like, what Eminem is doing is like creating these lyrical Twinkie burgers. And and then the song, everything rhymes with the word Twinkie burger. And I'll just, if I may, the first couple lyrics, he says, Let me kick a rhyme like a Twinkie burger. By the time I'm done, you're gonna think he's berserk. Lyrically, it's like sponge cake buns, applewood bacon, beef patties and cheese were merged. I'm cooking this up, but I'm out of my tree. Opposite of how the freaking Keeblers work. And it just keeps going. it's one of my favorite things in one of my favorite songs by one of my favorite people. And it's just like one of my favorite artistic experiences. Like, it's like, because like you were saying, Karen, like when you start, you see what other people have done and you're like, oh, can I do my version of what they're doing? Or maybe even my own, can I invent my own genre? Can I be my own flavor? Am I creating a brand new instrument and a whole new sound? And then when you hear other people doing, and you're like, but how did, I didn't even know, did you know we could do that? I mean, we can't. Excuse me, teacher, this was not the assignment. They're doing better than us.
They're doing so much better. But also, I just recently saw a TikTok about how, like, kind of hyper pattern recognition is a coping mechanism of children who are, like, in certain situations, whatever. It's not always, like, bad, but it's just a thing that kids develop when maybe their needs aren't met in specific ways. So becoming highly attuned to patterns is how you get them met, or is how you figure it out. And I saw that TikTok like 4 days ago, and all I can think about is like, that's all of comedy. That's all of comedy, because it's this kind of like, whether the pattern is sarcasm, or the pattern is metaphor, or the pattern is, do you like rap? I'm going to comedy rap. You're going to recognize what I'm doing, and I'm going to make you laugh. I'm going to combine it. I'm going to blow your mind. All of that is just more and more heightened pattern recognition.
Yeah.
And like the appreciation of it. It's just, I don't know. I love it.
I love it. Yeah.
And I mean, even more broadly than comedy, I mean, of course, it is exactly what's happening in comedy and music and art, and also in just humanity. We are all, you know, meaning seekers, like pattern, like we need, if you don't recognize patterns, then you may die from the thing that killed your friend that you didn't, you're like, oh, that thing poisoned him, but it's probably will be fine for me. Yeah,
usually it's fine for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will eat this tiger. You know, oh no, the tiger will eat me. Okay, yeah.
I see a pattern forming.
Yeah.
Fascinating. It's fascinating.
I didn't know you were, and it of course almost comedically makes sense that you have a master's in linguistics, and there's something that a linguistics person told me once that I've always repeated, and I don't even know if there's any truth to it, but I'm from the, you know, kind of Pacific, I'm from Montana, so it's not even Pacific Northwest, but I would say I'm close. I'm next to that panhandle of Idaho. He told me that that part of the country is the only part of the U.S. where there is no accent. Is that something that person made up, or can you give that any validity?
And the B part of that question is, what's the Craig and Otto Parts theme song in that part of the country?
Yes. All leading up to Tony's joke coming up.
Of course. I will hear, I'll say a few different things that will dance around the answer to your question. I'll give you the dancer to your question.
He's done it again.
It gets me excited when that happens.
I appreciate it. So newscasters are, like, famously, historically, have trained themselves to speak with, as it's weird to say, like, without an accent or with as little, you know, discernible accent. But here's the thing is, of course, like, to a British person, everyone in the United States has an accent. They speak English. We speak English. It's a matter of relativity. Like, in the United States, like, I mean, I would say the simplest answer is, there is no one who does not have an accent, because it's like pointing to one person and saying, is that person taller? Or is there someone who isn't taller? And you're like, compared to what or whom? Like, but then there is this weird thing of the newscaster, like, who is striving to be as universally accessible so that everyone who might be listening could listen and think, like, oh yeah, that's not I don't hear anything super anomalous to my voice. Like, you know, clearly most people don't speak like a newscaster, but it's like those things you ever see like in a, I don't know, a highlights magazine or something, or like a games magazine, where it's like nine faces and they're like, they all have some of the same features and some different features.
Right, right.
And they'd be like, which face has the most features in common with all of the other ones? And like,
oh,
that
man.
One is like newscaster voice. And maybe there is some part of the country that does have that version of like fewest anomalies compared to all other parts that do exist. But it's absolutely, it can't be like a set in stone absolute because language is always shifting.
And someone from Louisiana, I'm going to have as strong of an accent as they do to me.
Oh, yeah. You definitely have an accent. You don't. Yeah.
But the confusing thing is I've been asked if I'm from Canada, but I've also been asked if I'm from Philadelphia specifically. So I don't, it's like, well, where's the logic in that? I don't know.
Yeah. Everyone out there, just ask him, where are you from, if you want? You know, don't.
Yeah, rather than yes.
You don't have to guess.
You don't have to pin people down conversationally. It's weird.
I know. It's weird. It's just interesting to me, I guess.
Yeah, this is like geographic, linguistic astrology, you don't have to do it. Yeah.
It's teetering on the edge of an unhealthy thing to even care about, I think. Yeah. So I've decided I don't care anymore.
And with that, I think that you need to re-sing the East Coast Craig and Otto Part theme and tell us. And
yes, of course.
If you have anything to plug before you do this, and then this can be the final button. What if we do it that way?
I'd love to do it. And so, yes, in conclusion, the AutoZone theme and joke by Anthony/Tony someone. Anthony. And before that, yes, Mike Kaplan is my name, and it's spelled weird compared to many people who spell their names differently. Maybe you're all weird. Maybe everyone's weird except for me. So Mike Kaplan, MYQKAPLAN. That is all of my social media. It's my website. You can message me on those things. I have a Substack newsletter that I send out once a week for free, and more even if you subscribe. And that's mikekaplan.substack.com. My podcasts are called Broccoli and Ice Cream and The Faucet. And I would love to have each of you on as guests. And I love talking to people that I love, and I love you. And I am, I'm also a stand up comedian. I don't know if I mentioned that. I will be, my tour dates are usually on my website. I will be going to the Edinburgh Fringe Fest in August of 2023. You are there or want to be there, my show that I'm doing there is called Imperfect. If you are not there and you still want to see my comedy and you're not where I am, I have many albums. The two newest ones are called AKA, which is short for All Killing Aside, because the topic, the theme is love, compassion, and not murdering. Big fan of not murdering. And the other album that I recorded previously but only widely released this year is called Live In Between Albums, because I recorded it in between two themed hours but I had a lot of jokes that didn't fit with the hours, and I'd like to record these also. So Live In Between Albums has a wonderful new Ramin Nazer artwork cover.
Cool. Yeah, I've seen that.
And I think those are the things. I'm really excited about the new show that I'm touring with, that I will be bringing to Edinburgh and hopefully recording soon. Imperfect is about another themed show about my girlfriend, our relationship. She is a co-creator and contributor, not only to this podcast. Thank you again, Rini, for your help, a bunch of people who understand less the way that cousins work.
Than ever before.
Yes. But Rini and I, the show is all about our relationship, which is now, we've now been living together 6 years and almost together 7 years. And she is a partner in, so I guess I'm plugging my love for my girlfriend. Everyone check out my love for my girlfriend in my new show. And I think those are the plugs.
Terrific.
And now, with only a little more further ado, Anthony's I'll start it over just to give you, to let you know, this is the way that the song goes on the East Coast. And he sings it. He's like, AutoZone, get in the zone. If you want it, if you need it, just ask us and we'll get it. And then he says, yeah, that's how most businesses work. If you ask them for something, then they'll get it for you. And then he imagines, I forget the exact phrasing, but he then sets up like, this could be their theme song. If you want it, if you need it, just ask us. But I'm on my break now, so talk to another guy. Or then he'll be like, actually, we don't have that in stock right now. Call the other store. Maybe I'll be back for my smoking break in 15 minutes. I'll try to help you, but maybe just look around a little further. Maybe we got some in the back or a little high up on a different shelf. He just keeps going as long as he wants to. And it's AutoZone. Get in the zone. Yeah.
Oh, I love it. That is the best. That's our new theme song. And thank you.
I think
for
that
being,
really, that was the perfect button.
That
I think
was that, so great.
That yeah. was executed perfectly.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. It is a pleasure to see your faces and hear your voices. And I thank you and love you.
I love you as well. You've been listening.
I love you, Mike.
Yeah. Karen loves you too, Mike.
I'm included.
Thank you. Thank you both. You've
been listening to Do You Need a Ride? DYNAR. This has been an Exactly Right production.
Produced by Annalise Nelson.
Mixed by Edson Choi.
Our talent booker is Patrick Kottner.
Theme song by Karen Kilgariff.
Artwork by Chris Fairbanks. Follow the show on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at DYNAR Podcast. That's DYNAR Podcast.
For more information, go to exactlyrightmedia.com.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Follow Do You Need a Ride on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you like to listen so you never miss an episode.
If you like what you hear, rate and review the show.
And visit the exactlyrightstore.com to purchase Do You Need a Ride merch.